Good morning, good morning. Welcome to Sardino's True Talk. Before we get started today, I just want to do a quick little admin section. I want to thank everybody not only for the reviews that we've gotten this last couple of weeks, but also we've just kind of hit some milestones. We hit about 6,000 views on YouTube and also hit a little over 800 downloads. So we're definitely cruising along this thing, and I'm really grateful for everybody that's participated and shared the feedback, the candid feedback, good, bad, or indifferent. Very grateful for you guys. Got a pretty interesting topic to talk about today. My guest today, her name is Miss Allison Gomez. And just to give you a quick little backlog, she's been dealing with mental health issues a little over 10 years now. She's a licensed marriage and family therapist is the correct term, or LMFT. And she runs her own podcast also, Rebel Rev, if, correct me if I'm wrong. And also, I love her website. If you haven't seen it, you guys need to go take a look at her website. I did look at it. It's just Allison Gomez, MFT.com. So if you guys got anything, just feel free to leave a comment or message in the actual description, and we'll get that data out to you. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce Miss Allison. Miss Allison, go ahead. The floor is yours.
Hi, thank you so much for having me here, and thank you so much for the feedback on my website. I kind of feel like it's a little bit like art, like, okay, how do I use this to express myself, but also connect with potential clients who are gonna like resonate with it.
Yeah, I mean, you have a lot of, I liked it personally. I like your about me section, I think was perfect. You know, your previous work, your outside of therapy, but you're also given some really candid information. I even dug a little bit deeper. Like, I got into the actual videos that you guys have and the blogs. So I really thank you for the work. And you could tell that you put a lot of work into that. So I wanted to personally thank you for that because I'm sure it helps at least one person, then job is done for me. Sir, we're going to stop right here and take a 1 minute break to recognize today's sponsor. Sardino's True Talk is very proud to announce its first sponsor. Today's episode is sponsored by Fiverr. This is the number one freelance creation service on the web right now. I mean, whatever you need, they got a solution for you. You can find any service in under 5 minutes. There's literally all this talent right at your fingertips. And you can even develop a trusted relationship or build a team to help build your business. I mean, they're trusted by over 5 million businesses and 1.8 million annual projects. So if you need an in-demand freelancer, this is where you need to go. If you want pro services as well, I've used them for multiple of my videos and content, and I would even tell you that I just finished creating a new intro and outro using Fiverr. So if this is something up your alley and you're a podcaster or maybe just a content creator, an artist, a musician, whatever, if you need to outsource some of that work, this is where you need to go. Check it out. Now back to our regularly scheduled programming.
My co-host Nikki Hafner is my wonderful partner who helps that along because she's just fabulous.
Yep, I love Nikki. Yeah, I had the pleasure of meeting with her and actually doing an episode with her too. So good friend of both of ours. If you have some time, I'll give her a quick shout out, Nikki. Go follow her as well on Insta. And if, like I said, you need that data, just feel free to reach out to us. So today's big topic is what we're going to talk about is therapy and just therapy in general. What we want to do is kind of look at the current climate for therapy, seeing if you know how to find the right therapist for you, and maybe even simple as the benefits. So first, we're not going to bombard with too many questions, but what I wanted to do is just do a quick introduction, Allison, of what you think might be some of the most common issues that people would come for therapy and where you think maybe they should outsource it or go, hey, for sure you need to start going to therapy.
So, okay, I'm super biased because I feel like everyone could benefit from therapy, but I also practice from a very decolonized lens. So I don't always think people need therapy. It's if you're needing assistance and you need to connect with whoever or whatever you need to connect with. And for some people, that might be the church. For some people, it might be more spiritual things, more rituals and community and culture. And for other people, it might be therapy or a combination of all the above. And so one of the things that brings people to therapy is they want to change. There's something that needs to change. So I know for me, like a lot of the things I hear are like poor sleep. Like I can't go to sleep at night. My thoughts are racing. I'm having nightmares or poor mood. Like I just feel sad and hopeless all the time. And I need things to be different. But you can go to therapy for literally anything. If you're using insurance, it has to be something that's going to be like diagnosable because insurance is not going to pay just for you to go. But if you're paying out of pocket, you literally can be like, hey, I'm having a trouble transitioning in something in life. Or I need to just pick your brain.
Gotcha. So what I've been seeing when someone's facing a significant crisis, that's where I notice it is because they'll start reaching out to family and members out first, right? Sometimes they don't have that structure, in their family environment. And that's another key point. So just to give you a little bit of insight and what kind of made me start looking into therapy as an episode for me was recently I just did a death and grieving episode because I lost a friend to suicide. And I was really kind of thinking about them, what now, not only I didn't want to dwell in it, I didn't want to dwell in it and go, hey, this is, it was my fault, or maybe I could have helped, or maybe. Because sometimes you have kind of a little bit of survivor's guilt is what I got into in the death and grieving episode. But I started getting into therapy and I'm like, what are some of the things that I haven't dealt with that I need help with? Like maybe an extended period of anxiety or extended period of depression, maybe complications with the family dynamic. And that's what I noticed is like I want to say I had a mental breakdown almost 2 years now. That was completely horrible for me. Like I let everything kind of compile on me, right? And when that happened, I just broke. My body literally had a reaction to it, and I was like, "Holy crap, I could literally freaking die from stress." When do you think it's the right time for them to reach out to therapy?
You don't have to be 100% convinced that you want it because us as humans, we do not like change even when it's for us to feel better. There's something in being comfortably uncomfortable. I know what to expect when my life is full of anxiety and full of stress, and I know what to expect when I do hold everything in myself. Like, okay, yeah, there's this pressure and I may blow at some point, but everything's predictable. Like you can kind of sense that it has more control versus just kind of letting go to feel better. So you don't have to be 100% invested in you, but you have to be a little bit invested in you to want to put yourself in that position. That would be like one of the first things, like for you to have a really good outcome, but also making sure that you're connecting with the right therapist because that really makes or break therapy. Not one model of therapy is more, I guess, like effective than the other. It's the therapeutic relationship that really determines outcomes.
Right. And so I've had a mix of therapy. So like I've had therapists with male doctors in the military, and then I have therapy with females outside. So I've had kind of mixed reviews, and I've even reached out to you, like, what do you suggest? Because I kind of felt like, is this person right for me? So what are some of the things that you would say you should be looking in a therapist, and maybe what you should be expecting? Because I do know that a lot of people kind of have certain expectations, and I try to go in with none to kind of give everybody a free shot, and sometimes you can still learn from bad therapy, in my opinion, but not everybody has the patience for that. Maybe they need an immediate, response. So what are your opinions on that there?
Well, I guess like in terms of looking for what to look for in therapy, it really depends on what you're needing. So, okay, like for most of my friends and anybody who's in my life, I'm a very dark and angsty person and I have very intense feelings. So when I am feeling whatever it is that I'm feeling, like if it's uncomfortable and what would be deemed like negative, like, you know, I'm angry or I'm frustrated or I'm anxious. I don't really like people fixing it for me. And I get really angry if you try to cheer me up too soon. Just like, no, I don't want that. And that's something I also look for in a therapist is you're going to sit in that uncomfortable place for me. And for me, I like it when they dig in deep and not just put a Band-Aid on something because I already know the skills. Like I've gone to school. I mean, I don't know everything, but for the most part, I know a lot of the skills. So those are things that I need from in a therapist. But I know for other people, maybe they're new to the therapy world and they don't have the skills. So maybe they do need a therapist who's going to be a little bit more, okay, I'm going to teach you how to do breathing exercises. I'm going to teach you how to be more mindful. I'm going to teach you how to challenge the thoughts in your head. Other people need someone who's going to focus on all those strengths. So it's really kind of checking in with yourself when you're feeling validated and you're feeling, I guess, relief in your personal life with the people in your life. What are the things that people are doing that you like? And what are the things that you're people doing that you absolutely like? Oh, it just grinds your gear. Like, it just makes you mad. It shuts you down and you don't want to like, nope, nope, nope. Because that's probably going to also going to look like that in therapy. If you don't need someone who's positive, you probably don't want to go with a therapist who's like, let's look on the bright side, because that's going to be extremely invalidating. But vice versa, if you're needing those skills and they just keep talking about your feelings and that's not what you're needing at that moment, then that's going to be frustrating too.
Yes, it will. I could only imagine in this current climate right now. So everything that's going on, so I would tell you right now, I personally have been kind of triggered this week because of everything that's been going on with Afghanistan and me being a part of what we feel is the right thing during that time. And now with seeing all this kind of unfold, and when personally for me, when CAF fell, which is Kandahar, when Kandahar fell, all my friends were kind of reaching out to me like, did we just waste our time, you know, for 2-3 years? Is that just, you know, like invalid? What is going on, you know? So that's why I say there's been multiple things that's happened during this time where I'm like, you know, is therapy the right thing for me during this time? And I really think it is, because that's going up kind of like an old... Personally, for me, that's like an old wound that's just resurfacing, right? Because of everything I went down there. So during this current environment, what would you say is the biggest, what have you seen a certain influx on people's emotional state, or is it just the lack of being away from the social interaction? What's that piece you think is missing? Because I'm sure therapists are going up the wall with requests, and I've seen it because it's like they're booked forever, and I'm sure that increases the therapist's, you know, stress level as well. So is that effective right now, or is it a bad idea, you know?
Well, it's not about whether or not it's effective. I mean, I think it still really goes to fit. Like for me, I have a very small practice. It's very small. I don't see too many clients because of what you're talking about. I used to do agency work and I used to do case management, and, you know, we would have like 20 or 30 people on my caseload. And mine was a small team. Most other case managers had like 100 clients on their caseload, and it gets really exhausting and it leads to burnout. And it's hard to provide effective mental health care if your person's not taking care of themselves. So I keep mine small, but I do know if you look for a therapist and they do have a large caseload, I'm not going to say it's a red flag, but maybe like exploring a little bit. Okay, how do you take care of yourself so you can be present for me? Because you're right. Like if you go to someone who's super stressed out, then it kind of feels like you have to take care of them versus them taking care of you. When what I'm hearing is, you know, if you're triggered, if you're struggling, you want to be able to know that this person's going to be there for you and you're not, I guess, like overwhelming the system. Mm-hmm. Does that sound about right?
That sounds right. And that, I mean, what I also like, because it's like, it's the structure to me, you know, because now you're starting to see online platforms get into therapy, like BetterHelp, and BetterHelp is the one that's coming right off the top of my head, because I've seen so many commercials of it already. So, but things like that. So it's like, I like the fact that people are a little bit more open and that those resources are available, but do you think that's a better format, or do you think in-person therapy is more, let's say for a family structure, I would prefer to have both entities personally, or for an individual issue, a video face-to-face would be fine.
I know people can do family. I don't think it really goes back to what works best for you. It's that relationship. Are you going to be able to have a trusting relationship with somebody if you're in person or if you're over video? Because some people, they do need the in person. Maybe they're zoomed out and it's hard to stay connected when, like, I've been on Zoom 40 hours this week. I don't want to do it for another hour. But other people, maybe that's not the same issue. Maybe it's fine. Maybe it's phone. I have clients where we just do sessions over the phone and we never see each other. We used to see each other, but then, the pandemic happened and it's just been phone calls ever since.
Right. And I just commend you guys, because I know I would love to be in that kind of social community environment, but I feel like I would easily hit that burnout stage for me, because I can lose my patience pretty quickly. So I just want to commend you guys for what you're doing, and thank you for being selfless, and I feel the same way about teachers as well. Is this kind of like selfless work, but I mean, I'm sure it's very rewarding when you do get that one or two clients that's just made your day.
It is, but I'm also like, no, I'm gonna take care of myself. You can't change the world if you're burnt out.
Right. You can't help someone else, you can't help yourself, correct? So
And the burden of the world as a therapist, I mean, each one of us, if we all take responsibility, yeah, we can change the world, but this is bigger than like just the therapy world. Like this is the mental health system, like, and just the cultural, the stigma of mental illness and the stigma of taking care of your mental health. This is really big. So it's kind of like, and part of my decolonizing is like, screw you, capitalism. I'm gonna take care of myself too. Just because this, I don't know, like the medical system really is about kind of like overwhelming you. Like that's the norm. And I'm not about that. Like, no, I did agency work. I'm fine. Like, we're good. We're good.
I got it. I got it. So, what do you think are some things that we could do, maybe as a client, to help, maybe a therapist, or like you said, what are some of the things that we can do personally, you think, in the mental health system to change this? Because you see, so I have a lot of proponent, like a lot of people have asked me to do an episode like on the VA and kind of how the process has been for me, and I try to stay away from it, because it's like they help as best they can, but it's like within the system, it's a nightmare. Honestly, it just is a nightmare. And I'm like, I felt so bad, because the other day, like I said, I've been in the VA for the last 2 days this week, and I was overhearing a conversation with one of the nurses, and I'm just like, I have no need. Like, it was the wrong format for her to have that conversation open with a coworker. But the fact that I was listening in, and I was just like, oh, I did not want to hear that right now, because she was just like, they're ready to walk out, they're stressed out, the workload's too high, the pay is too little. So it's very demanding, and I just, there's no quick band-aid for this, mental health system. But where can we start? What do you think are some key things that we could start doing to maybe reviewing smaller practices, or maybe trying to change the practices? I don't know. What do you think?
I'm all for client autonomy and advocacy, which I know for people. Okay, so it's kind of a double-edged sword. When people go to therapy or see their doctors, it's pretty hard to advocate in general, just because if you don't have that relationship, it can be very easy for you to get gaslit, like, or to kind of just be minimized. But I also think that clients have a right to have expectations of I need,
Your
quality care.
services, right?
Well, and also just even within the therapeutic relationship, your therapist isn't perfect. They're going to mess up.
Of course, I mean, just like
And
any other, with that, is just similar to how in food services, kind of certain places are already known for having crappy service and some are not, and that's what makes the difference. So have you seen any structure that you think honestly works? Like this works well both for the therapist and the actual person going through therapy?
I think when the therapists are taken care of, it trickles down to the client.
That makes perfect sense.
Like I remember when I used to work in a hospital and the nurses, kind of like what you were talking about, like the nurses were overwhelmed and they were trying to book every bed, even though there wasn't staff to really truly support all those clients. And so here they are after having, suicide attempts or overdoses or whatever, and they're struggling and they're not even able to get that quality attention that they're needing to get through this crisis. It's just kind of like you're just another person, you're just in money signs, and it doesn't lead to people feeling like taken care of. They don't feel heard, they don't feel validated, they just feel ignored, and it's awful. But when you're able to meet with somebody who's able to take care of you, so like if you're at a group practice, what is that group practice doing to take care of their therapist? Because if they are, you're probably going to have a therapist who's going to have more energy and time and that emotional resources to be present with you versus like even like my agency job, everybody was like, it's all about productivity. You need to meet and see this many people, and if they don't show, it's your fault and this and that. And then you get a lot of really bitter people who don't always act appropriately, but they're also trying to survive. So if your therapist is trying to survive and you're trying to survive, it can cause some problems. Not saying that they're bad therapists, they're bad because of it. It's the system, and it's just kind of how it's really toxic.
And that's the so I'll tell you it's the same in the I'm in the IT field, so I'm a network engineer, and I'll tell you right now, everybody I work with is past burnout. Like burnout was there and they're past it, and it's just because of the environment that they bring, you know what I mean? And I try to sometimes be that ray of hope, but I get knocked down because I'm part of the system. You know, it's like, hey, stay in line, we didn't ask you to do that. You know, you need to, you know, do what you need to do. MTTR is what they care about. They don't care about, this is what kills me, is like mean time to restore the service over customer service. Like which one's more important? To me, it's always going to be about the customer, because as long as you take care of the customer, the MTTR is irrelevant. I get it hurts your bottom dollar, but we have to do something. You know, you can't just raise your hands up, you know? So personally, what would you think are the bigger issues that you're seeing now, maybe between marriages or couples, or maybe like family dynamics? Because right now, me personally, the biggest thing I've seen is just, unfortunately, consistent death. Like I had a couple of two friends of mine that lost like multiple family members within 3 or 4 days, and I was just like, holy crap, like I know this is not going anywhere, but how do we help? You know, how do you help someone who just lost 3 or 4 members of a family? You know, what would be your suggestions?
Just be present as much as you can. I mean, you can't accept that you can't fix it, because our society is very much of, we don't like discomfort. We want to put band-aids, we want to medicate, we want to whatever. But that discomfort isn't necessarily a bad thing. So like with grieving, you're going to grieve hard if you care about the people that you lost. There's no way around it. You're just going to hurt because this person was important and now they're gone. Or dreams or whatever, but like, so don't try to fix it. Number one, don't put a silver lining on it. It is what it is. And here's how I can be present within this darkness with you. Maybe it's me sending you food. Maybe it's me listening to the stories that you've experienced. Maybe it's me just sending a text saying, hey, I'm thinking of you. I hope you're doing, I hope you're doing well. Let me know if you need to connect. I mean, it's what is it that they're needing to feel connected and heard and validated? Have you ever seen like Inside Out?
The movie with the emotional, like it's anger and all that. I think I remember it vaguely.
Okay. So there's this character, Bing Bong, and he has this wagon that he was supposed to take with Riley, like they were going to go to the moon. But the wagon gets thrown into the big giant pit where you forget everything. And he is so absolutely sad. He is grieving for this wagon and all the things that this wagon represented. And Joy was like, "Hey, let's look at on the bright side. Let's do a dance. Let's do anything other than sit here in your sadness." And Bing Bong is just like not having it. He's not even hearing what she's saying. He's just like, bleh. But then Joy comes, not Joy, but then sadness comes along. It's like, yeah, you were so excited for that. Oh, I bet that makes you really sad. And he's like, yeah, it does. And then he keeps talking about it and he has a good cry with all the candies coming out of his eye because apparently those are his tears. And then he's fine. And he's like, okay, I feel good. And, they went on their way. So it's kind of like the same thing with like any type of grief. We got to sit in it. Because once you sit in it and you meet that need, you're going to be able to move through it a lot faster versus putting a band-aid on it, shoving it down, because it's still unresolved. You still care about this person or about this thing or about whatever. And it's going to keep popping up. Because I know a lot of people are grieving about with the pandemic, not even just like the deaths, but just kind of like the death of that hope. A lot of people are feeling really hopeful. We got these shots. This is what we were talking about. We got these shots. But because Delta, it's like, I can't even do the things that I want to. And so it's like grieving these things. And a lot of people feel like it's petty to be grieving these kind of things. Like, why should I be upset about these kind of the stuff? I'm alive, I'm well, I'm healthy. Shouldn't this make me happy? It's like, no, you're excited to go on these trips. You're excited to go to these events and concerts and eat at a restaurant without having to worry about a mask. I mean, you're excited to have some kind of semblance of a life again, and that was taken away. So yeah, you get to sit in that sadness. And there's a difference between sitting in the sadness and staying in the sadness and like putting salt in the wound. That's a whole nother kind of conversation. But for the most part, if you're just sitting in it and validating it and looking at it the way that it needs to be, you're going to be able to move through it a lot faster.
Great point. I love that reference. Yeah, I do remember Bing Bong because I remember he lost the rock. He was trying to get out tracking. That was really nice. Another good one. I guess the real two things that I would like to maybe, finish off on is maybe some key points and how someone can maybe manage addiction or maybe substance abuse. Some pointers out that could help maybe alleviate the workload for most therapists if there's something that, because I am a big proponent to self-care in a way, but even I need help. You know what I mean? So that's what I'm trying to say is like, I'm aware of that, but how is it that I make this other person aware of, hey, you might need to get an additional source of help? What do you think?
I think, okay, and so I thought I heard a couple of questions in there, so my brain's like
So, Matt,
processing.
sorry. First one was managing addiction. Just some key points of managing addiction or substance abuse. And the only reason I bring that up is because I see a lot of people use that as a coping mechanism. So it's like if we address that issue, then maybe the coping mechanism will minimize.
So, like in terms of addiction, if it's like a chemical addiction, addiction is not like exactly my strong point. I mean, I know of addiction. I treat people who have addiction, but it's not usually the addiction's the main thing. It's the underlying stuff. But I guess depending on the addiction, be prepared for the physiological changes. And I guess creating some kind of support system for you to help you cope through that. And that might even include having a doctor that is competent in helping someone like go through the withdrawing process, depending on it. If it's more of a psychological dependence, an addiction, then I mean, the same thing goes. You want to make sure you have a support system to help you sit with that discomfort. I mean, who really wants to be in pain? We are not a society that embraces pain. We are as pain avoidant as we can. Like, what? Let's just not like let me slap on good vibes only and that is it. And with this you really have to at least accept, maybe not embrace, but accept that this is going to be part of the process and having the support that you can And maybe they might look different depending on the person, because not everyone can do everything. So maybe you need someone who's going to give more moral support. Maybe you need someone who's going to help distract you when the craving or the thought is really intense. Maybe you need to have support in terms of the right shoes to go on a run to kind of keep you moving, so you're not just spiraling. So those would be some of my tips for substance abuse.
Gotcha. All right. And I think we beat a lot of topics there. I know it's a lot of information to process. The last thing I think I would say, and then I'm gonna leave the kind of floor open to you for whatever you want to talk about. And then I'll kind of give my closing remarks after. What do you think, all in all, you should be expecting from therapy? And like, what would make the perfect, how to say, the perfect person to come in? Like you said it was open-mindedness. So coming in there with an open mind, being prepared for change. And then what else do you think it should be shared out there during this time that could help maybe one person that might be struggling either mentally or physically? Because I noticed that most people don't go to therapy just because of a mental issue. It's usually either a physical issue that's spiraled out, or a physical issue that added a mental issue later on. So that's kind of the last point I'm going to make, and then I think you with your closing remarks, we can go ahead and close this out.
I think some of the thing, I don't know, I'm all about have expectations for your therapist. Don't settle. And if that means that you have to date around a little bit, and I say the term, I mean, don't actually date your therapist, but I feel like when you're meeting a new therapist, it's a little bit like going on a date, this blind date, this person you don't even know, other than whatever you saw on their profile, their website, Therapy Den, Psychology Today, wherever. And you're going to see if you hit it off, like, okay, does this person, like, do they get along with me? Like, is this a
Are you
potential
a
fit?
Leo?
Are you a Leo? I'm a Cancer. Are you a, you know, like, are, and so, but if it doesn't feel right, and I'm not talking about like maybe they asked something uncomfortable and you just didn't like it. I mean, if it doesn't feel like you can trust them, then don't continue with them. But if they're making you uncomfortable and not like tearing your emotional tendon uncomfortable, but maybe like stretching you a little bit in a way that maybe you're needing, then I would stick with it. But if it's just like you're getting absolutely nothing out of it at all, then don't settle. You deserve a therapist who is going to understand you. That doesn't necessarily make them a bad therapist, and it doesn't make you a bad client. Maybe you just are not a good fit.
That's very true. So I would say, Allison, thank you again so much for your time. And I know it was a bombardment of questions and debates. Thank you very much for that reference to Bing Bong. I think I will never look at that movie the same, thanks to you. And your points of being present and not settling, I think is really the key point. And you also, I mean, being in that discomfort zone is something I love. It's just some people don't like that. They're just not prepared for it. Like, I like to use Goggins as a good example, because Goggins, if some people look at Goggins and just hate him, right? Because it's like, this guy's always running, he doesn't care, and he's just go, 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 go. So I understand the importance of the discomfort zone. So I think that was a really good point that you made, because some people are too comfortable, and this is honestly what kind of drove my podcast. And initially was because I was uncomfortable about my body in season one, and then I was kind of uncomfortable about my mental state in season two. So I thought that this was very important, and I think it's a great addition to what we have going, and I will gladly support you in any way. You just hit me up however we can help out to you. And I really, like I said, if you haven't checked out the Allison Gomez MFT.com, you guys need to go check it out. And also support Rebel Revolution, like I said. And you just go ahead and throw your socials out there, because we're going to try to get you some follows, and then we will go ahead and keep this journey moving on. So lastly, any final remarks you got, Miss Allison?
Yeah, come check us out at Rebel Rev, or you can come check me out at Allison Gomez LMFT on Instagram. Allison with one L. I am a very special kind. Definitely here to be talking about like mental health, managing mental health, and I guess getting through crises because that just happens. I'm also on Clubhouse. I have no clue what my username is. I know it has my name in it. But yeah, so come check us out and let's decolonize and empower ourselves and whatnot.
For sure. And thank you again, Allison, for everything you do over in Rebel Revolution. I have checked it out and it's very interesting. There's a different angle of trying to stop systematic oppression, you know. So you guys haven't looked at it, go ahead and check it out. And once again, thank you again for your time and stay healthy, stay alive.
Thank you.
All right.